Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tes. We are 17 lines from the bottom of Daf Ches Amid Beis, the two dots, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Before we begin, I want to say that today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Avram Benish Ben Yechiel Yehuda Akoyen, Benish Mendel, Yossi's father, and I think it's very befitting. We learned the Gemaras this week about Rav Pinchas Ben Yair and the chesed that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair did. He was going to be Poid the Shfuyim, the sea split, and the chasodim of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair mentioned throughout Shas. Yesterday we spoke out from the Chidah, who says over from the Rama Mipano that Chamoirish and Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was a Gilgal of Yishmael, the son of Avram Avinu. Am Adoyim Lechamor, that was Yishmael. He was Nisgalgal years later b'chamoirish on Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. The Sfar Makdashim also say that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair himself was a Gilgal Neshama of Avram Avinu. And just like Avram Avinu was the Amud HaChesed, that's why you find throughout Shas Rav Pinchas Ben Yair is involved in unusual chasadim. Anyone that knew Beinish can attest to the fact that he was an Amud HaChesed, one of the pillars of Chesed of our generation. May his Neshama have an Aliyah. Schusa Yongan Aleim. Zokta Gemar Vait. Amr Rav Yudam Arab. Hatabach. Someone that's a butcher. He shechts chulin sarich shloisha sakinim. He has to have three knives. Achas shesheichet ba, one that he uses to shecht. Va'achas shemechatech ba ba, so the other one he uses to cut the meat. Va'achas shemechatech ba chalavin, and the third one he uses to cut the fats. In other words, the non-kosher meat. So the knife that he uses for shechita, he can't use to cut meat. The reason is because a knife has to be very, very perfect in order to be able to use it for shechita. So we don't want the sheichet using it for anything other than the actual shechita. As far as cutting meat, there's kosher meat and there's not kosher meat. Most of the meat in the animal is kosher. You have the chalavim, of course, that was not kosher. Thus, he needs one extra knife to cut the kosher meat and then a third knife to cut the chalavim. Frey the Gemara of Lesakin Lachada V'lichtoich Ba'bas V'hadach Lichtoich Ba'chalavim. Why does he need three? Why can he have two? One to shecht the actual animal and then the other one to cut the kosher meat and the non-kosher meat. And what the sheikha will do, he'll cut all the kosher meat for the day and then afterwards he'll cut the non-kosher meat. We'll clean the knife afterwards, kasher it, whatever exactly needs to be done. But why does he need to have a third knife? It's a halacha. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. You have to have a third knife. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's a halacha. Gzeira shem yachtev chalavim v'achach. Boss, you're going to tell me that you're using the same knife for the kosher and the non-kosher. Now, if you do it in the right order, first kosher, then non-kosher, then it's okay. But what if you do it in the reverse order? Then it would be a problem. Thus, we don't let you do it in the right order. Gzeira, you may come to do it in the wrong order. Says the Gemara, hashtanami. Okay, if you're concerned that a person is going to make a mistake, he's going to reverse the order, thus he's telling me he needs to have two sets of knives, then why is there no concern, even when he has two knives, that he may use the wrong knife to cut the kosher? Meaning he'll use the one that was used yesterday, for example, for chalavim, and today he's going to use it to cut the kosher meat. Says the Gemara, kimen da'atzrechinu trei islehekeir. Now, once you tell a person that he has to have two knives, he knows that he has to be aware, he has to be cognizant. One is for the kosher meat, the other one's for the non-kosher meat. But if you tell him the same knife, just do it in this order, not in that order, there's already a gzeira, it's much more likely that he's going to make a mistake. Similar alochim. The butcher that has buckets of water that he used to use for sanitary purposes, to clean the knives. So he has to have two sets of kelim. One where he cleans the basar, the kosher meat. And the other one that he uses to clean the non-kosher meat. Why does he have to have two buckets? Presumably, if you're going to put the non-kosher meat into a bucket, and then you're going to put the kosher meat into it, a little bit of the shuman of the non-kosher meat is going to end up in the kosher meat. But the Gemara says that's only a problem if first you put the non-kosher and then you put the kosher. Why isn't it okay for him to have just one bucket of water? First we'll clean the kosher meat. Then afterwards we'll clean the non-kosher meat. It's like this, you won't have an issue. You're right. If you get it in the right order, it's not a problem. But what if you do it in the reverse order? What if you first wash the bus, the chalavim, and then you wash the bus, so then a little bit of the shuman of the chalav is going to end up in the bus. It says, okay, so you're telling me that you're worried that a person's going to make a mistake. Why does two buckets help? The Gemara says the same. Being that you're telling the person he has to have two buckets of water, so there's a hecker now. He knows that he has to be aware of some halachic issue. Thus, he's going to make sure to use the one for chalavim for chalavim, and the one for basar for basar. A third halacha nogeya every shoychit. Amar Meimer Mishmeid Rapapa. Like lischayv inish kafli ilave bisra. A person has to make sure if he has a piece of meat, the shoychit, one side of the meat has the chalavim, the other side of the meat has the kosher meat. So he can't bend the chalavim over, like double over the meat, fold it in a way where the chalavim is going to be touching the basar. The doiv tarba, because we're afraid that a little bit of the chalav is going to drip, ubala bisra, and it's going to be absorbed in the kosher meat. So you don't want any contact between the chalav and the basar, even though it's not hot. But we're worried that a little bit of shuman is going to drip out of the chalav, and it's going to end up penetrating the meat. Right, the Gemara, ihachi, if you're worried about a little bit of shuman of the chalav penetrating into the basar, kitritzinami, even if you leave it the way it is, being that it's one piece of meat, let's say the top is the chalav and the bottom is the shuman, is the part that you're allowed to eat, why aren't you worried that doiv tarba, within the piece of meat itself, without folding it and making direct contact, a little bit of shuman is going to drip in ubala bisra. It's going to be absorbed by the shuman that's on the bottom. So the Gemara says, karma mafsik mitatoi. There's a little membrane that separates the chelev and the shuman, and that membrane doesn't allow shuman to go from the chelev side of the meat into the shuman side of the meat. If, however, you fold it over, and now there's direct contact between the chelev and the shuman without the separation of the membrane, that it's a problem. But the Gemara says, that's not true, because ihachi miloi nami karma. The truth is that on the top part of the chelev, there's also a membrane. So there's a membrane that separates the chelev and the shuman, but there's also a membrane on top of the chelev. So even if you're going to fold over the meat, so that in theory, this contact between the chelev and the shuman, it's not really going to be direct contact, because you have a layer of membrane that's on top of the chelev, which will weiter separate the chelev and the shuman. The Gemara says, "Aidi de misham sheyada de tabacha miftach." That membrane is exposed. Right? The membrane that separates the chelev and the shuman, that's inside the meat. That has no exposure to the hands of the butcher. But the one that's on top of the chalev, that has exposure. And when the butcher does his thing with the meat, it's very likely he may tear a little bit of that membrane. Thus, there's going to be a little hole for there to be doiv tarba, for a little bit of fat to drip, ubala bisra, and be absorbed in the basar. Thus, the halacha is, to fold it over is going to be a problem. Another halacha. So if you want to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to be able to check off the following three boxes. Number one, ksav, says Rashi, lichtoiv. You have to know how to write. If you can't write, you can't be considered a Talmud Chacham. We'll get back to this in a minute. Shchita, you have to be able to do shchita. Umila, and you have to be able to be a moil. No, there's additional requirements as well. Number one, a Talmud Chacham has to be able to make the kesher shel tefillin. Rashi says that's the kesher in the back of your tefillin shel roish, which is shaped like a dalet, shaka you have in the tefillin. It's shaped like a dalet, so a Talmud Chacham has to be able to make that kesher. Ubirchas chasanim. He has to be able to officiate a wedding, misad the kedushin, for tzitzis, and he has to be able to make tzitzis. Says the Gemara, why did Rabbi Yudam Rav say those three things? Well, the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to know those things. So the Gemara said, no, hanich shchichin. Of course you have to know how to make those things, but those things are shchiach. Those are things that people do all the time, and being that people do those things anyways, the halach is, it wasn't necessary to mention that. Meaning it's understood that you know how to make the kesher shel tefillin, that you know how to officiate a wedding, and you know how to make tzitzis. That's not a chiddush. What is a chiddush is the other three things, which aren't eshchiach. Thus, he had to mention ksav, shchita, milo. Those are things that a Talmud Chacham would have to know as well. I'm Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, Rabbi Yudam the name of Shmuel, Kal Tabach, any butcher, she'eni yoideya hilcha shchita, that doesn't know the laws of shchita, asa lachem shchita, asa, you're not allowed to eat from a shchita. The Elohim hilcha shchita, and the following are the important laws of Hilchas Shchita, all of which will be discussed in very great detail later in the Masechta. But for now, Shia, Drasa, Chalada, Hagrama, Ikor. Pausing, pressing, borrowing, cutting beyond the designated area, or tearing. Either way, so those are the important, the integral halachas that every single shaykhid has to know. And if you have a shaykhid, he wants to shecht chulin, and he doesn't know how to do one of these things, so the halacha is, his shchit is going to be possible. Feit the Gemara, my kamashmulon, kulu tenino. These are all mishnayos later in the Masechta. Meaning we know that there's a halacha of shi'iyya, and there's a halacha of drasa, and chalada, and hagroma, and ikur. So what exactly was Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel being mechadish? That a shaykhid that doesn't know the laws of shi'iyya can't be a shaykhid? If there's a mishnah that says you have to observe the laws of shi'iyya, then obviously you can't be a shaykh if you don't know the laws of shechita. So the Gemara says, let's shechita shachal levanein bezo gimel pa. Now we're talking about where we saw this person shacht a few times. V'shachat shaper, and he was a wonderful shaykh. Mal the tema, I would have thought, bid ilach shachat shaper, hainami shachat shaper. Meaning the person doesn't know the halachas. He never learned mesachtes chulin. He never learned yerideya. He wasn't mekabel ksav kabbalah and shechita. He doesn't have a yerideya. But at the same time, we've watched him do shechita. He's a muchzik, like the Gemara referred to it earlier. He's someone that knows how to do it. So I would have thought that at the end of the day, he knows how to get the job done. Maybe it should be fine. Kamash malon. No, he has to know the halachas. Because if he doesn't know the halachas and he just does it by rote, even though like Gamar, he doesn't really know it. It could happen that something's going to go wrong. He's not going to know. Meaning if he knows the halachas, and there's a she'iyah, he'll know, if there was a she'iyah, now it's a problem. Now it's not a kosher shechita. Now the animal's in a veil. So he's going to know that there was an issue. But if he just gets it right by road over and over and over again, so punked, he's getting it right. What happens if something happens in middle? He's not going to realize he made a mistake, so he can't rely on the chazaka. If he doesn't know those basic halachas, the halacha is the shechita is going to be pasul exel. So before we go weiter, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, a Talmud Chacham, tzorich she'yilmai gimel dvarim. He has to know three things: ksav, shchita, and mila. So he has to know how to write, he has to know how to shecht, and he has to know how to be a mer. Chanani b'shlamya added, he has to know how to make the kasher shel tefillin, he has to know how to officiate a wedding, v'tzitzis, he has to know how to make tzitzis as well. So number one, Rabbi Yehuda said that a Talmud Chacham has to know how to write. Why does he have to know how to write? So Rashi, sheyeda lachtoim shma. He has to know how to sign his name. Ilu yeshev bedin oyle edos. It's important for him to have to know how to sign his name, because he may have to convene and be a dayan, or he may have to sign on a shtar. A Talmud Chacham may find himself in that kind of situation. If he's not going to know how to write, it's going to be a problem. So it's important for him to know how to write. The Chassam Sofer, in his Chedushi Chassam Sofer, right here on this Gemara, is medayik from Rashi, that it sounds like from Rashi, that as long as the Talmud Chacham knows how to sign his name, he meets the technical criteria of a Talmud Chacham. He doesn't have to be able to sit down and write an essay or write a tshuva. That's not something he has to be able to do. All he has to know how to do is sign his name. But as long as he can sign his name, that's going to be beseder. And says the Chassam Sofer, it's really a mefurish in Rama. Listen to this Rama. Mishnah is in Mesechtes Gittin, Daf Samech Vav. The context is, if somebody goes over to someone and says, I want you to give a get to my wife. Now, he never even wrote a get. So should we assume that he's appointing this person to be a shliach, site to write the get, and to be a shliach to give the get or not? That's the context. Amar Rav Yosi, in the middle of a Mishnah, in Mesechtes Gittin, it's a long Mishnah, Daf Samech Vav on the days. Noimenu l'shliach, af anu mikubal. We have a Messiah. Shafilu amal abezdin ha-gadol shavi Yerushalayim. If somebody would go over to a chaver of the Bezdin HaGadol Shav Yerushalayim. This is a member of the Sanhedrin. And he would tell him, Tnu get le'ishti, I want you to give a get to my wife, be a shliach. Now, he never even told anyone to write a get. He himself never wrote a get. So, Rabbi Yossi, we have a Maseira that the halacha is, she'yilmedu, they should learn how to write, v'yichtivu, and they should write, v'yitnu, and they should give it. Zokti Rambam, in his Pirush HaMishnayos, Ahavul deGediyuk, says, it sounds to me, from the Lashon HaMishnah, let's be medayik l'shoyne yazov shel Rav Yosi. Somebody went over to a member of the Sanhedrin, he says, through get l'ishti. Okay, so what are we supposed to do? Yeah, so the halacha is, you write a get and you give it. But what did the Mishnah say? She'yilmedu, they should learn how to write, and they, what? He's a member of the Bezdin HaGadol. He doesn't know how to write. Says the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos. Yeah, ainay min hanimna. Doesn't bother me. She Bezdin HaGadol ayu b'kiyim b'ksiva. Who said a member of the Sanhedrin had to be able to write? She lefi shehatnai bebezdin sheyu chachamim. To be a member, you had to be a chacham. Lo sheyu soferim. No one says they have to be scribes. Now, there's a fine line between being a scribe and knowing how to write. But the bottom line is, we take for granted that everybody knows how to write. It wasn't always like that. So says the Rambam, I think it's a diuk in the Mishnah, that we tell the Bezdin sheyilmedu v'yichtuvu v'yitnu. Clearly, not taking for granted that the member of the Bezdin HaGadol knew how to write. But at this end, so it doesn't bother me. Because though it's true that a member of the Bezdin HaGadol had to be a chacham, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he had to be a soifer. No one ever said he had an arah. Now, Rambam says that a member of the Bezdin HaGadol had to be a chacham. Just a little bit of color. We spoke about this when we learned Masechta Sanhedrin. We mentioned this Rambam many times. The Rambam's in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. These were the criteria necessary. This is what the resume had to look like. If you wanted to apply, you wanted to become a member of the Bezdin HaGadol. Suck the Rambam. din b'sanhedrin, bein b'gdoyle bein b'ktana. This is even to be on the abezdin of Chav Gimel, right? This is between the Sanhedrin Ketan. Ela anoshim chachomim v'nevoinim, muflo'im b'chachmas ha-Torah, ba'lei deya meruba, v'yoydim k'tsas mishar chachmas. So as it relates to chachmas ha-Torah, you have to be muflo'im b'chachmas ha-Torah, ba'lei deya meruba. At the same time, you have to be somewhat educated. So you have to be somewhat familiar with other things as well. K'goin refuos, medicine, v'cheshbon, t'kufos u'mazolos, you have to be familiar in astrology. It's tagninus. V'darkei ha'ma'oinin v'akoisvim v'hamechashvim v'havlei avodah zarah. Whenever the Rambam talks about avodah zarah, he prefaces v'havlei avodah zarah. It's the Rambam shita that avodah zarah kishif, it was all shtosim. U'kayoytze be'elu k'dei she'yu yoydim lodin oislam. So the Rambam lists, it's pretty tough criteria. Number one, he has to be muflam v'chachmas ha'Torah, balei dei meruba, an intellectual, a really smart person. And he also has to know k'tzas mishar chachmos. He has to know refuos. So he has to know science, he has to know math, he has to know astronomy, he has to know astrology. It's not so simple, but he doesn't have to know how to write. Either way, the Chasam Sofish tells us, this Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayos, to our Rashi, that even Rashi, that said that the Talmud Chacham has to know how to write, it just means he has to know how to sign his name. And then he brings something very interesting. It says the Chasam Sofer, so what does that mean? That means he's completely illiterate. So Chasam Sofer says it can't be. But rather, what it means is, hani mili betumunas oisiyos v'sidr haksiva. What it means is that he doesn't know how to formulate letters. He just can't physically write it. Avo pshito shetzrichim sheyedu lifchor loshen arumim v'loshen chachomim heimbunus choyish toroiz v'heim tzachas loshen. So even though he physically can't sit down with a pen and paper and write, but at the same time he's familiar with the way things need to be written. So he can instruct somebody else to write. And when he writes, what he wrote is going to come out legible, and it's going to make sense, and it's going to flow, and it's going to read very, very well. Meaning, the issue is physically writing, putting pen to paper. But he can oversee Ksiva Shtoris, for example. And then he brings a Maisa that the Rivash says, that the Ran was sitting on a Bezdin, and somebody brought a get, and the Ran read the get, and it just didn't read. It looked like it was written by someone that Pasha didn't know how to write. And he passed the get. He said, because a Dayan has to, even though he doesn't have to know how to write, because like Rashi says, and the Rambam says, even a member of the Bezdin HaGadol didn't have to know how to write. But Tzachos HaLashon was something he had to be somewhat familiar with, and if he doesn't have Tzachos HaLashon, it's going to be an issue. That's the first order. The second order is that we mentioned over here, Kesher Shel Tefillin. So there's a Tosis right here in Daf Tesem and Aleph, and this Tosis appears in a few places in Shas, where Tosis brings from Rabbeinu Eliyahu, one of the Bali Tosis, he held that every single day a person has to knot his tefillin. So we take our tefillin out of our tefillin box and we put it on our head. It's not so hard. Rabbi Eliyahu had very, very big chumrah. He held that it's not the way you do it. Every single day you have to untie your tefillin and put your tefillin back together. And he based it on the Gemara Masechtas, Menachis, Taflam, and Heyam, and Beis, Tefillin, Me'emes, I'm Mevorich Aleh, and Nishas Hanocha, Vachas Kshira. So Rabbi Eliyahu, it sounds like every single day you're supposed to do Kshira. Rabbi Natam argued. Rabbi Natam said you don't have to do Kshira every day. So what does it mean, Kshira? Kshira means putting the tefillin on your head. That's called Kshira. So we're using the word Kshira somewhat loosely because really Kshira means to tie it. You don't tie your tefillin on your head. But at the same time, says Rabbeinu Tam, it's poshut that's what the Gemara Masechtas Menachos meant. In other words, according to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, every single day you have to untie the knot in the back of your tefillin shorosh and tie it back. According to Rabbeinu Tam, no, it's not what you're supposed to do. It says Rabbeinu Tam, and I have a raya. His raya is from the Gemara Masechtas Erevin Dav Tzadik Zayin, because the Gemara says it would be usur to tie the kesher shel tefillin on Shabbos. Now we know that chil Shabbos kosher, which is one of lamatas malachas, is only if it's a kesher shel kayama. If it's not a kesher shel kayama, it's not going to be a problem. So freak Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rabbeinu Leo, that every single day you're supposed to tie and untie your tefillin, so it comes out the kesher shel tefillin is never a kesher shel kayama. If it's not a kesher shel kayama, it's never going to be kosher midai raisa. So why does the Gemara say in Erevin Dav Tzadik Zayin that it's awesome midai raisa to make a kesher shel tefillin? It's not a kesher shel kayama. So Rabbeinu Tam said that's a raya. That's a raya to my yisoid that really you're not supposed to tie the tefillin every day. What does it mean when the Gemara says mishas hanocha vachas kshira, putting the tefillin shorosh on your head, that constitutes kshira. But in terms of the actual kesher, that's not something you're supposed to do. Davni Nezer, in one of his most famous tshuvas, is medayik from the Hagoyis Mardchai right here. So the Hagoyis Mardchai is in the back, in the beginning of Masechta Shul. It's the first Hagoyis Mardchai in Masechta Shul. He says that from the Gois Mordechai it's mashma, that not only did Rabbeinu Tam hold that you don't have to tie and untie your tefillin every day, you're actually not allowed to. It's a diyak in the Hagoyos Mordechai. It's a very subtle diyak. But that's what Avni Nezer says, that I believe that according to Rabbeinu Tam, it has to be a kesher shel kayom. In other words, the machloikis between Rabbeinu Eliyahu and Rabbeinu Tam is mikotze lakotze, from sea to shining sea. According to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, ukshartem means that you have to tie it. So every single day, in order to be yoytze your mitzvah's tefillin, you have to make the knot of the tefillin shorosh. If not, you're not yoytze tefillin. It's something that you have to do. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it has to be a kesher shel kayom, like you proved from the Gemara Masech Zeirivin. And if you're going to tie it and untie it, it's going to come out, it's not a kesher shel kayom. You're not going to be yoytze. Now, we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. So if we paskin Rabbeinu Tam, the kesher shel tefillin has to be a kesher shel kayom. Says Avni Nezer, based on that, I have a problem. Because people sometimes borrow other people's tefillin. And very often, the tefillin doesn't fit. So what are you going to do? You're going to untie the kasher. You're going to make it a little bigger, a little bit smaller, so that it fits for you, and then you're going to put the tefillin on. Zokta Avni Nezer, it's a big problem. Because you know you're going to be giving the tefillin back. And being that you're going to be giving the tefillin back, when you made the kasher for your usage of this tefillin, it's not a kesher shel kayom. If it's not a kesher shel kayom, Le Rabbeinu Tam, you weren't yoytze mitzvah's tefillin. And says the Avni Nezer, I think it's a very big problem, and he concludes, u'mitzvah lefarsim hadover. It's a mitzvah to be mefarsim this, because people borrow tefillin, and they play around with the kesher, and Le Rabbeinu Tam, the Avni Nezer's diak, Rabbeinu Tam didn't say this mefurish, but it's the Avni Nezer's diak in the Agoyis Mordechai right here in the back of Masech Teshulin. So we're doing our part in mitzvah of Pharisee Madover. Azloizok to Avni Nezer. This Avni Nezer's Yodua. It's a famous tshuva from those famous tshuvas and tshuvas Avni Nezer. But I'll tell you something that's not so Yodua. And that is the Kozhik of Agoyin, Hashem Yim Kum Domoy, in the Shailos Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, it's in the back of Siman Zayin. It's in parentheses. Now, Kiyodua, the Kozhik of Agoyin, was a Talmud Muvik of the Avni Nezer. So he brings as follows. He discusses this Chiddush, and he says, Acher Kosvi Shamati, She'ish Echad Kosev Shailozu, Lekoit Voy Kdushas, Admur Bal Shem Mishmul, Zeichat Tzadik V'Kodesh L'Vracha. So the Shem Mishmul, was the son of the Avni Nezer. Bekitzer, a Shailah was asked with regards to the Chiddush of the Avni Nezer. V'Kosev Loi HaShoyal, this is what he wrote. Shachumus Avni Nezer, Shaloi L'Shanei Sakeshu, Neged HaMinik, it bothered him very much. So the Shoyal says, you know, it's very nice, the Avni Nezer came up with this Diyik and Agoy, Smartchai, this big Chiddush like Rabbeinu Tam, but it's Neged HaMinik, and it bothered the Shoyal that the Avni Nezer should say mitzvah lefarsim, that all of Klaius, something that's been done for thousands of years, is being done. V'Heshav Loi Maron, the Minig HaOlam Hu Rak L'Katzer HaKesher L'Harich. The Minig HaOlam is not to completely untie the kasher. What they do is they loosen it a little bit and you manipulate it a drop. Avoloi lahater akesha ligamri. Mizen nira said the Kozhik of a Goyen. The chol she'en oimater akesha ligamri. Rak she mekatsroi oimarichoi bo'idenu bekesher shabir domi. So it's a tremendous kula in the chumra of the Avni Nezer. This is the Kozhik of a Goyen, who is the Talmud Muvik of the Avni Nezer, who's quoting the Shem Yishmul, who was the son of the Avni Nezer. So this is a tshuva from the Avni Nezer that's mitzvah lefarsim. But this is a very important caveat. And this is coming from Talmud Muvik, B'noi Shel Ha'Avni Nezer, that they held that the Avni Nezer never meant it if you're just going to be mekatzer it or mayrich it a little bit. What he meant was if you're going to completely untie it, that's when there's going to be an issue. Either way, Zok Tegmar Vaitiv. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Another halacha that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel with regards to the laws of Shechita. Hatabach. If someone's a sheikh, it's arch shechita v'simanim lach shechita. After he does the Shechita, he has to inspect the simanim. He has to make sure that he got the shechita right. Amar Rav Yosef, Avin Anami Tanina. I think it's a Mishnah. Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon says, "I'm shocked they bikur the zalach of Shia." Again, what does Shia mean? It's one of the integral halachas of shechita. You're not allowed to pause too long during the shechita. It has to be done in one consecutive action, but there can't be a pause. How big of a pause would cause the shechita to be possible? What constitutes shechita? Shia. So Reb Shimon said, if it was kedei bikur, the amount of time it takes to inspect, that's going to be a problem. My love, kedei bikur simanim. So Reb Yosef said, what did Reb Shimon mean when he meant bikur? It sounds like there was this shia that people were familiar with. Every sheikh is familiar with a bikur. He has to inspect. And he knows how long it takes to inspect. Oh, that's the marum makim. That's the simanim milsi. You want to know how long she is, refer to the shia. So you see there's something called bikur. What does bikur mean? Presumably what Shmuel said, that after the shechita, he has to do bikur. He has to inspect, he has to make sure that he got the shechita right. Even though it's not a mefurish mishnah, but inferred in Reb Shimon using a shear of bikur that the sheikhet apparently was supposed to be familiar with, is that there's a halacha of bikur, presumably to inspect the simanim after the shechita. It means the amount of time it takes to inspect the knife. Before the sheikhet does a shechita, he has to go to a chacham, and he has to show him the knife. And that's the shear that he was referring to. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef told him, that's not an absolute shear. How long does it take to ask a Rav Shaila? Well, it depends. Does he pick up his phone? Does he not pick up his phone? Do you have his cell phone number? Is he in his time? And it's not so easy to get in touch with a Rav. So it has to be a real shear, a shear that resonates, that people can learn from. So Bishleim, if it's the amount of bikur after the shechit, okay, we know what it means. The amount of time it takes to ask a Rav Shaila, the Gemara says, k'dei bikur tabach. Chacham. What it means is, in the event that the tabach himself, let's say the butcher was the chacham, so he himself can inspect his own knife, how long would it take him to inspect his own knife? So then already you don't have to get in touch with anybody. He himself is the tabach. So that's a shear that every butcher would understand, that in the event that he was the chacham, how long would it take him to inspect it himself? That's the shear Rav Shimon was referring to. It's not a raya necessarily to Shmuel. Says the Gemara, loy badak mai. What happens if the sheichet did not check the simanim? So again, Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, a tabach after he does the shechita, what happens if he didn't check it? It's a treifa. You're not going to be able to eat it. Now, what's the difference between a treifa and a vela? This is going to come up again and again. A nevela is an animal that was killed, but it wasn't killed via shechita. So if you kill the animal and it wasn't done through a shechita, a shechita psula, or not a shechita at all, the animal died on its own, that animal's considered a nevela. A trefa is an animal that has some sort of wound that's going to cause it to die. That because of this wound, this mum, a hole in the lungs and the intestine, there's something wrong with it, where the doctors determined that this animal cannot live beyond a certain period of time. That animal's a trefa, meaning even if it had a kosher shechita, even if the shechita was done, there was no issues. It was a mahadrim and a mahadrim shechita. There's a kind of a reference. It was a perfect shechita. It doesn't matter. Still, the halacha is that the animal is going to be non-kosher. Not because it's a nevela. It's not a nevela. You shechted it. The problem is, it's a trefa. Now, nevela is also b'achila. Trefa is also b'achila. Nevela is a chayvei lav and trefa is a chayvei lav. They're both very bad. They're both matam to mesalei. The primary difference in halacha between a treifa and a nevela is a nevela also has tumah. So in the laws of tumah, there's something called tumas nevela. There's no halacha of tumas treifa. So the halacha, says the Gemara, is if a butcher didn't inspect the simanim afterwards, and now we have a safek, maybe the shechita wasn't done properly, what's the halacha? The halacha is he can't eat it. Stating that there was a machlokes tana, you can't eat it like you can't eat a treifa, it's aser b'achila, or you can't eat it like you can't eat a nevela. Not only is it aser b'achila, it's even going to contract tumah. Zok the Gemara, what's the beer in the machlokes? But the Rav Huna. The machlokes is something Rav Huna said. I'm Rav Huna. Behemah b'chaya b'cheska sisra emetis. We know an animal while it's alive is b'cheska sisra. Are you allowed to eat from an animal while it's alive? Of course not. Why not? It's eva menachai. Therefore, the animal remains b'cheska sisra. Ad sheyivad al chabam nishchata. This is Chazakus 101. Tomorrow's daf. Nishchata. Once an animal has a shechita, rei b'cheskas heter. Ad sheyivad al chabam nitrifa. Once an animal has a shechita, then it's b'cheskas heter. And if you want to now go and tell me that there's something wrong with this animal, you're going to have to prove that it's an issue. But the bottom line is that an animal, when you're not sure if it had a good shechita or didn't have a good shechita, it's b'cheska sisser. Why? Because while it was alive, you weren't allowed to eat the meat. Because it was eva menachai. So the shaila now was how far to take this cheska sisser. Marsavar b'cheska sisser kaimu v'hashta meisohi. Umarsavar b'cheska sisser amrina b'cheska tumma. So the shaila was, it was b'cheska sisser, but it wasn't b'cheska tumma. So one man said it was only b'cheska sisser. So now that you did a shechita and you're not sure if the shechita was a good shechita, why not? Because you never checked the simanim. So, becheskas iser. You treat it like a treifa, meaning you can't eat it. Tumah? Why should it be tumah? It's not becheskas tumah. Your live animal's not tumah. It's only a nevela that's tumah. The other man said, no, that once you tell me that we're not sure if the shechita was a kosher shechita, meaning the cheskas iser tells me that maybe it wasn't a good shechita. Or maybe it wasn't a good shechita, then maybe it's a nevela. If it's a nevela, on that side, it would contract Toma. Thus, you have to look at it not only Becheskas Isser, you have to look at it Becheskas Toma as well. So before we go weiter, we mentioned Eva Menachai. And we concluded yesterday's daf with Eva Menachai as well. And we mentioned that we would come back to this, so let's do what we do. So the Gemara at the very end of yesterday's daf discussed the halacha of a sheichet. If a sheichet was shechting And after he shechted the animal, he realized that he had shechted a treifa. So the halacha is that he has to wash the sakin because of duchka the sakina and the beis hatzaver. It's reseach, it's soinein. You can't now use this chalas to go shecht a kosher animal, because once you shechted a treifa with it, we start getting worried about blias. And there was machlokes in the Gemara, pligi barav achav ravina, chadam bechamin. One said you have to use hot water, more of a hagala, the chadam betzoinein, and the other one said that you don't have to use. All you need to use is. But the Gemara asked the Kasha, I don't understand. If you're worried by shechting a treifa, then maybe suddenly there's blias over here of treifa. Every single time you shecht an animal, you should have this issue as well. Why? Because you shecht an animal, the animal, while it's alive, is also b'achiva, because it's Eva Menachai. When the shechit shechts, it now gets blias of Eva Menachai. So how could you ever reuse a knife? I'm using a knife to shecht this animal. The animal should have blias. Not you. The shechita could have been perfect. There wasn't a treifa. Everything was amazing. The problem is, before you killed the animal was asa b'achila. And l'chura, you would think that blias of the live animal went into the sakin. So why is this only a hechi timtza? If the sakin was used, and then they realized it was a treifa, why is this a holy kimta, hacha b'mayaskina, where it was every single time a tabach shecht, why are you not worried about blias of eva menachai? Reb Itzala mipetaber, the pre-Yitzchak, Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, in Chelek Aleph Simen Chaf Aleph, says that from this Gemara, there's a raya to something that Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva about. And that is, a bal chai, something that's alive, is it maflit or is it not maflit? So we spoke yesterday a little bit about the basic Taruvos 101. We know that something meat that is heated, the heat would cause the meat to be boileya, to absorb anything that makes contact with it, or to be maflit, to discharge from it into whatever it is that came in contact with it. A meat is shachut. That's the classic case of taruvas. What if you have a live animal? A live animal that gets really, really hot and now it made contact. Is a bal chai, something alive? Is that maflit? Is that boileya? Or is it not maflit or boileya? And the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva about that, as we'll see in a minute. So it says the Pri Yitzchak, I think from this Gemara, there's a raya berura. Because the Gemara had a Kasha, that why aren't you worried that every single time a sheichet shechts an animal, that maybe it was Bailea, the sakin was from Eva Menachai. Now, Eva Menachai would be mean that while the animal was alive, it was maflit into the sakin. So you see clearly that even a bal chai, even something that's alive, has an ability to be maflit. So what's this tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, and why was this even a mavuch in the first place? So the Chassam Sofer is in Shailas Tshuva, Chassam Sofer Yerideya, it's Chelek Aleph, it's Tshuva Tzadik Dalet. And the Chassam Sofer brings a story. Uvde Yodana be Frankfurt, the Main. Parach, so this took place in Frankfurt, the Main, one of the largest cities in Europe, one of the epicenters of Jewry back in the day. Tarnegoyles Parach, l'toich halachas chemer reisachas aleish. What happened was, Maisa Shoya Kachoya, a tarnegoyles, a chicken, jumped into a vat of hot butter. And it died. V'hoira goyin echad umuhul shamay. And there was a goyin there. He doesn't mention him by name. Umuhul al Shamay. He was a very, very big Talmud Chacham. And he paskin sha'asra achema afilu l'goyim. You're not letting it eat the chema, that's for sure. Not only can't you eat the chema, you can't even give it to a guy. V'shavchu b'chutzais, and they poured the chema out. They had no choice. There was nothing they could do. His kiru, afterwards, they reminded him, the basar oif b'chal of mutabana. The Olam understood that the reason this goyim, umuhul al Shamay paskin, that you're not letting it eat the chema, is because it was a basar of a chal of question. You had the oif, which is basar. You had the chema, which is chalav. We know basar v'chalav is asar b'achila. It's also asar b'ana. It says three times in the Torah, one is an isra bishul, one is an isra achila, one is an isra ana. So simply it was asar b'ana. Because it was asar b'ana, he said that you have no choice, but you have to pour out the chema. But the problem is the Olam told him that basar v'chalav 101 is that it's only basar v'chalav m'day raisa that's asar b'ana. Basar v'chalav m'day rabbanon is mutar b'ana. Yeridei simin pei zayin, right in the beginning of basar v'chalav. That basar v'chalav of the Rabbana is Motabana. Now, Basar Oif V'chalav, to eat chicken and meat is only Asav the Rabbana. So they told the Rav, you would tell you B'dvar Mishnah. Everybody knows this halacha. Anyone that ever sat down to learn Basav V'chalav Taruvus knows this, that it's only Basav V'chalav Medei Raisa that's Asav Bana. But this is a Tarnagailis. This is a bird. It's an oif. And being that it's a bird, it's only Basav V'chalav Medei Rabbana. U'betoich Kedei Dibur, said the Chassam Sofer, immediately as the question was asked, Heshav HaGoyin Zatzal, the Enochinami Bahana Muteris. I never said it's asa b'ana. That's not what I said. I said pour it out, meaning don't give it to a guy. It was ulamaychel a guy asura. You know why? Mishum blias evim and achai. Dasla b'naych. I wasn't worried about the isra ana basa v'chal. I know basa v'chal is not a problem. It's basa v'chal with the rabbanu. It's about the b'ana. I just didn't want you to give it to a guy because I was worried that before the tarn guy was died, it was already maflin into the chema. So now you have blias of evim and achai. And if you have blias of evim and achai, you're not allowed to give it to a guy. Ordinarily, what do you do if something's asa b'ana? You give it to the gaita, right? What else are you going to do with it? Probably you can't give it to the gaita either, because you're giving the gaita now blias of evim minachai. Says the Chasam Sofer, v'hayinira le'ayin, the tchila sayra lo'yhoi mitam evim minachai. The Chasam Sofer says, I don't think that this gaya necher of Mahul Shammai, when he paskined, initially when he paskined, it was based on this. I think he thought basa v'chalav. Ukishgaga yoytze milifnei ha-shalat. And he made a mistake. Ach lo yu'una l'tzadik kol ofen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's never machshel l'tzadik. Hashto behemten shal tzadikim. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevich takal yodom. Is his milay Hashem yisparach teretz l'shizvei mikisufo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an einfall to spear him from his busha that this guy in Echad of Mahul Shammai didn't know this halacha. So right away he came with this great chatna. I didn't mean us about no. I was just afraid you were going to give it to a guy. I was worried about the bliya of Eva Menachai. Mikom Bokim says the Chasam Sofer Nilma the Gam Bechai Shaykh Pleita. But one thing I will say is that you see from here that even by a Balchai it's Shaykh Pleita. Because if there's no Pleitas by a Balchai, then this is a moot point. And then the Chasam Sofer brings a raya from a Gemara by the Zohar and the Sugis of Nais and Tam Lufgam, Daf Samaches on the days, and from a Rosh and from Haman, from all people, the raya Brura. On the bottom of the Nuchsam Sofers, they bring to take a look at Shailos Hatshuvos Yad Alozer. So I looked in the Shailos Hatshuvos Yad Alozer. Now, the Yad Alozer was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. He was also the Rav in Wien. So he learned by the Chasam Sofer in Presburg for many years, and then the Chasam Sofer sent him to become Rav in Wien. In Tshuva Kuf Chav Hei, they bring it here, Tshuva Kuf Chav Vav. It's Kuf Chav Hei. So he brings this psak from the Chasam Sofer. And apparently, there were people that had an issue with the story with the Goyen Echad. Meaning, the Goyen Echad had said, pour out the chema. People thought it was because of Basar Oif. Problem is, Basar Oif is only Asma Drabana. It's not Asma no. So he said it was really because of Eva Menachai. So the Shoyalim asked the Yad Alazar. They said, I don't understand the psak of this Goyen Echad Merul Shammai. Meaning, he was worried about Blios. Listen to this. He was worried about Blios of Eva Menachai. Why should Blios be a problem? And the truth is, the Gemara in many places in Shas discusses, how do you know that a bliya of a davar asa is asa? If you have a real, you have a sandwich, okay, it's a problem. But if you have a bliya, it's what's known as tam ke'ikr. And the Gemara brings several makaris to tam ke'ikr. The primary source of tam ke'ikr is learned out from Mishus HaNovim. It's learned out from the Nazir. The Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. He's also not allowed to eat grapes. He can't even drink a liquid that grapes soaked into. And we learn from there, there's a halacha of tam ke'ikr. Now, tam ke'ikr was liyisrael nemnu. So the Shoyal asked the Yad Alozer. He said that I don't understand. He said, why is this a problem? You worried about Tam Ke'ikr of Eva Menachai? Tam Ke'ikr is not a problem. Eva Menachai is B'nei Noyach for a Yid. Yeah, that is a problem of a Bli of Eva Menachai. Because we have Aloch of Mishus HaNovim. We have Aloch of Tam Ke'ikr. But why should it be a problem to you? Says the Yad Alozer, whose name was Rebbe Lozer Halevi Ish Horowitz. V'terem ena al t'miyasam. Tzorech ani aleidi alechem. Before I answer the question, I have to tell you the rest of the story. Ki agoyin ha-moyra hazeh. This goyin echad m'hul shamoy that the Chasam Sofer didn't want to refer to by name. Hoya adoyni ovi v'zikni. My zeda ha-goyin rabul shen kol b'nei ha-goyla ha-flozatza. V'hoysa ha-she'ela ha-rishoyna. This was the Rebbe, the Chasam Sofer. It was the first question Shehuva Lufanav Bebaya Lekila Kedosha Frankfurt the Main. So the flow was Rav in Frankfurt the Main. And the first question that was at, this was the first day that the flow was Rav, they brought him this chicken and he issued this psak. That was a wrong psak. That's what Chasam Sofer said. And it was mamish lo yu'una letzadik kol oven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected the hafla, and mamish mit amol, he had this einfall to say Eva Menachai. But these shayalim, these people, they weren't losing up. They said that even the correction wasn't the right psak. Right, that's the kasha. Tam ke'ikr, since when is Tam ke'ikr? Apashalom de'inayach. Says Rabbi Lazar Halevi Ishar. Right, the hafla's name was Pinchas Halevi Ish. Hafla stands for Hakotan Pinchas. The lamed is Halevi. The aleph is Ish. The hey is Horowitz. Right, it was a Zeda. V'hirasai b'ktusha haisa. Says the Reb Lozer Halevi Ish Horowitz that my Zeda's psak was the right psak. V'loi kashe kosaftim b'chavzi kol adam ki toi toz gomer. V'nahapachu, he says, just the opposite. He says, you're 100% wrong, and I'll prove to you that you're wrong. How so? He says, everybody knows the Rambam. In Hilchas Malachim, very cute. The Rambam says that shiurin, are halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. And all halachas l'moshe mi-sinai, li-yisrael nemra, v'loy l'bnei nech. Right, we always speak out the tshuvas chsam sofer. But the chsam sofer asks a kasha, my simcha quotes his tshuvas chsam sofer. Right, the chsam sofer asks a kasha that the Rambam talks about katan and gadol as it relates to a benayach. Right, there's a concept of a benayach being a katan and a benayach being a gadol. Right, the chsam sofer a kasha, the Rosh says in the tshuva that ben yud gimel and mitzvahs are from the shirim that were nemra halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. And the Rambam says all the halacha l'moshe mi-sinai is li-yisrael nemra v'loy l'bnei nech. So how does it make sense you can have a katan or gadol when it comes to a famous chsam sofer with a famous teretz, the income and goyim? But the bottom line is that the whole concept of shiurim, says the Rambam, was only the Yisrael Nemra v'loy l'bnei noyach. So said the Yad Elazar, it's v'nahapachu. You're asking me a kasha, mehecha teisi tam ke'ikr when it comes to benoyach. When it comes to benoyach, you don't need tam ke'ikr. See, we need tam ke'ikr because in our world, there's something called a shir. And then there's a chatzi shir. If it's awesome, it's not a mistereisa. And then there's bitul b'roiv, bitul b'shishim. That's all in the world of shiurin. But being that a benoyach is aser, even without a shir, meaning afilo b'mashu, so says the Yad Elazar, why in the world should tam kebe ikr be any worse than a mashu? Upashu de blias isa le gara mikashu. And if that's the case, it's pasha that it would be aser. So the oilam was timing that Tafla got it wrong, even the second time. He said, no way, chas v'shalom. He said, this was hayrasai b'kedusha, v'nahapachu. And it's just the opposite. Pasha, don't understand. You're forgetting a Rambam. He was very defensive. You're forgetting a Rambam. Either way, that's just a little bit of an interesting tshuva and a little bit of the rest of the story. Regardless, sakta gemara vaita. So we mentioned over here, Ravuna Zalacha. And Ravuna Zalacha is that if you have an animal, and you have a shaila now whether the shechita was a good shechita or it wasn't a good shechita. So the halach is, it's becheskas iser. What does cheskas iser mean? So it's a machlekes. Is it also bachila like a treifa? Or it's even going to contract tumma like a nevela? What if you did the shechita? So then the halach is, it's becheskas shechuta. Zok to gemar. Guf amrav huna behema b'chaya becheskas iser emedes. Achi yivadol chob eman nishchita. Nishchita. Once you had the shechita, it's becheskas heter emedes. Achi yivadol chob eman nitrifa. Freit to gemar, I don't understand. If you shechted it, then it's mutter. What does it mean? It's becheskas heter. V'lei menishchata hutra. Cheskas heter sounds like there's a shaila now. Being that there's a shaila, so you have to rely on a chazaka. You know there was a good shchita, it's becheskas heter. What's the shaila? Nishchata, it's not becheskas heter. Nishchata, it's mutter. Unless something else happened that we're not aware of. So the Gemara says, yeah, something else did happen. The point Rav Huna was trying to make was, if there was a shechita, afal gaf desial b'reyesa, even if later there's a reyesa after shechita, if there's a reyesa in the shechita, then it's becheskas iser. If there was vaday a good shechita, and now a reyesa was noilad after we know for sure there was a good shechita, then already we look at a becheskas heter. What's an example of such a reyes? We have a real story where Rav Abba once asked Rav Huna a shayla, so it would be like Rav Huna's own psak, as the Gemara is about to say. What happens? A shechit did shechita, and he has the bnei meayin, the intestines of the animal are lying around, a wolf sneaks in, it takes the bnei meayin, and it took it away. So the question is, what's the halacha? Is there going to be a problem or is there not going to be a problem? So the Gemara says, halesnu, what's the shaila? Why should you assume there was something wrong with the bnei meayin? It was a good shechita. That's not a shaila. Ela naka bnei meayim au. So the Gemara, the shaila is, what would be if a zev would come, not take the bnei meayim away, but rather bite into the bnei meayin in front of us and puncture a hole? The question is, do we have to be concerned that, what, maybe the hole was in the intestines before the Ze'ev bit it? I mean, we saw the Ze'ev bite it. So the Gemara says, so what would be the shaila? If there was a hole in the intestines at the time of the Shechita, before the Ze'ev bit it, then it would be a treifa. But over here, you saw him do it. So the Gemara says, the question was, we didn't see the Ze'ev actually bite it. He took it, and then he came back, and we saw there were holes in the Ze'ev. Are we concerned that even though there's a possibility that maybe the wolf bit it, but maybe he bit it in a place where there already was a hole, thus, we have to look at it as if it was a treifa, oiloi, or maybe not. Amaleis, Rav Huna told him, ein choshen shem b'makom nekev nakav. You're never concerned that maybe the place where the ze'ev bit a hole into the bnei me'ayim, there had previously been a hole. Why not? That's Rav Huna's halacha. Because being that, as far as we know, there was a kasher shechita, it's becheska shchuta, until you tell me otherwise, this is not cool telling me otherwise. Zok t'gemar esvei, I'll ask you a kasha, and the kasha is going to be on this last line. Again, what was this last line? A wolf went, took a part of an animal, the b'nei me'ayin, a part of the animal where if there's a hole in it, the animal would be considered a treifa. Then wolf stuck its fangs into this piece of meat, and now you see holes. Okay, now clearly it came from the wolf. The shaila is, are you concerned that maybe there was a hole in the place where the wolf bit, so that really the animal would be considered a treifa? So Rav Huna said, doesn't sound like such a chiddush. Ein chayshish in shema b'makim nekev nakef. But the Gemara says, I have precedence for a similar shaila. Esavei, I'll ask you a kasha from a teisefta mesachtes trumois. Rod tzipar hamenaka teina. If somebody saw a tzipar, a bird, it was pecking at a teina, at a fig. Va'achbar, or a mouse, hamenaka b'avatichin, it was pecking at a watermelon. Chayshishim, we're concerned. Shema b'makim nekev nakef. Now we know that the halacha is that you're not allowed to drink any mashkin that was left uncovered overnight. It's what's known as mayim megulim, mashkin megulim. It's halach and shulchan aruch. It's sugi's in mesechtes avodah zarah. It's sugi's right here in mesechtes chulin. Mechaber says it's not applicable b'zman hazeh. The Vilna Gaon Kiddush was very bothered about that. If we have some time at the end of the daf, which we won't, we'll, I guess, not speak out any rain on this. But the point is that there was a whole halacha. It comes up many, many times in Shas. The concept of the Mayim Megulim. That everybody knows. What not everybody knows is that there's a second application to the halacha Megulim. And that is, if you have a fruit, we know, because we learned the way this up. But if you have a fruit that has a hole in it, so there too you're concerned with Megulim. Why? Because what's the Chashash Megulim? The Chashash Megulim is that maybe a dangerous animal, like a snake, went and it was Matal Eris. It put a little bit of poison in it. And as an issue of sakana, maybe you're putting your life at risk by drinking this cup of water. The same issue you have with a fruit. The animal likes fruit. See, maybe he went, it was matalaris, into the hole of the fruit. See, here you have a fruit that was left out overnight and there's a hole. So the question is, was the hole there before or not? Now you see the tzipar making the hole. You see the achbar making the hole. So what's the shaila? The shaila is that maybe shemba b'makom nekev nakef. Maybe the hole was there previously, and it just so happens where the animal's making the hole. I mean, the chances of that don't seem very likely. But maybe. So the question is, are we chayish shema b'makam nekem nakam or not? And it's a mefurisha b'raisa. The halach is yes. Chayishinon shema b'makam nekem nakav, and you're not allowed to eat the fruit because of the halacha of megulim. So what's the Gemara's kasha? What's the esave? Why is it that when it comes to the laws of treifos, ain chayishish in shema b'makam nekem nakav, if the zeiv bit into the b'nei me'ayin and made a hole, you're not concerned that maybe there was a hole there before? No, we assume that it happened after the shechita, when the zeh went and bit a hole into it. How come when it comes to the halacha of megulin, we see the animal making a hole into the fruit, there you are concerned? Amale. So the Gemara says, he told him, Mikom Adamas Yisru LeSakanta, Yishtelling Tzu Isra and Sakana. And this next Gemara is another classic, every daf and chulin, right? Sakana shiny. Sakana is different. Sakana is more chomer than Isser. When it comes to a shail of Isser, like here, treifa even. It's fine. We'll be mekel. You're not going to assume shema b'makom nekev nakev. But this is a question of sakana. Oh, when it comes to sakana, over here we have to be more chomer. Zok the Gemara. Amalei Rava. Why? Maishla safa sakanta l'chumra. Safa gisura. Nami l'chumra. So Rava told him, I don't understand. Why? You can tell me, because when it comes to iser, to sakana, you have to go l'chumra. But you see, you also have to go l'chumra. I mean, what's your press? How do you know that you're more machmer when it comes to sakana than when it comes to amalei abayit, amalei shani ben yisura l'sakanta? I'll prove it to you. V'ha ilu safik tumah b'shusar rabim sveikai tar. We know if you have a safik tumah b'shusar rabim, what's the halacha? Sveikai tar. It's learned out from Saita. Every Safik Saita was treated like a Vadai Saita. Misafik. Every Safik Saita, there's a Safik if she was Mizana, if she wasn't Mizana. Misafik, we treat her as if she was Mizana. She's also to her husband. If she's an Eishes Kayin, she's not allowed to eat Truma. She's also to the Baal. It's only Safik. You don't know if she was Mizana or not. But there's a halacha of Safik where you go to Chumrah. The Saita is referred to in the Torah as being Tameh. Right? Tumak Sivba Ka'arayas. The Saita is treated referred to as Tameh. And we learn from there that every Safik Tomah, you also go L'Churma. But we learn that the only time you go L'Churma by a Safik Tomah is if the Safik Tomah is similar to a Safik Saita. Two criteria. Number one, the Safik Saita takes place in a hidden area, Kinui and Stira. Thus, we learn from there, Safik Tomah b'shus hayachid is fekei Tameh. But Safik Tomah in an exposed area, b'shus harab is fekei tar. Another halacha is that the Saita is a person. And as a result, she is what the Gemara refers to as someone that's yesh b'das li shoyl. you know, we can cross-examine her, we can question her, we can ask her information about what happened. So the only time you have the halacha of safek tumah b'shus hayachid is if it's yesh b'das lishol. But let's say the thing in question is a davar she'ein b'das lishol, it's an inanimate object. There the halacha is, you don't say this din of safek tumah. But the bottom line is, you find this concept of safek tumah b'shus hayachid sveikoy tameh, but safek tumah b'shus harabim sveikoy tar. How do I know that? I know that from Saita. So it said, Abayo, I don't understand. You don't know? You're not masking? There's a chilik between Isser and Sakana? You can't find me any precedence that Sakana is more common than Isser? Safik tomer b'shus harabim, what's halacha sveikei tar? Vilu safik mayim megulin asurin. Let's say you have a safik mayim megulin b'shus harabim. Are you going to be allowed to drink it? Of course not. See, you see that safik Sakana is more common than safik tomer. So you told him, halsam hilchus agmiri lami saita. That's all halacha l'mayit shemi sinai. You can't ask me, bring me rayas from halacha l'mayit shemi sinai. Ma saita b'shus hayachid, aftumah b'shus hayachid. What does it have to do with the regular klolim of Safik l'chumra? Ordinarily, Safik l'chumra is hakana, and this is the same. I have a halacha l'mayishim yisin, I hear, very nice. But that's nothing to do with our discussion. Masav Rav Simi, sheretz b'fi chulda. There was a chulda, a weasel, that had a sheretz in his mouth. The chulda mehaleches agabi kikari shal truma. And the chulda was walking on top of loaves of bread that were truma. Now, the chulda touching the bread is not a problem. The sheretz, it's one of the shmoyne shratzim, if it touched the truma, that would be a problem. It would make the truma pasul. So the question is, safik naga, safik loy naga. Let's say it walked on top of it, but you don't know if the sheretz actually touched the bread. So the halach is sveikai tahar. What's the kasha? Vilu safik mayim megula nasurim. And you see safik mayim megula is going to be awesome. So the Gemara says, hasam nami rava told him there too. It's based on the halacha l'mayish mesina. Like we just said, hilchas agmiri lami saita. Ma saita, dava sheyesh beidas lishol. Afalcha nami dava sheyesh beidas lishol. The reason it's going to be tar over there is for the same reason safik tumah b'shus harabim is tar. Why safik tumah b'shus harabim tar? That's the halacha l'mayish mesina. Safik tumah b'shus hayachid kishayim beidas lishol. The halacha is sveikoy tar as well. Amar Rav Ashi said, I'll bring you another right. Toshmat. Tzlichis. If somebody had a tzloiches that had mayim chayim that he was planning on using for the mechatas, for the ether of the paraduma, and he left it exposed. Umat, you know, we'll save this for tomorrow.